This is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi. Across from me sits Travis, and to my right is John. We've been talking about the attributes of God. We started off with God's judgment, which nobody likes. Then we talked about God's faithfulness, which is a great thing. And today we're going to be entering into this idea of mercy. When you think of the word mercy, do you think of any stories in your life where somebody showed you mercy?
I think of the game that kids play where you put your knuckles together and one guy gets to hit the other person's knuckles until you say mercy and then you're out. Because you're bringing pain to the other guy and you say mercy and then the pain stops. So there's one form of mercy that's not exactly very spiritual, but I remember playing that game as a kid.
Yeah, what about when you guys played baseball as kids, did you have mercy rules?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know if they still do that.
Yes,
yeah,
they do.
Yeah. I can remember a couple of teams in Little League that I was on where we got the mercy rule a few times.
Were you on the receiving end? Or
on the receiving end. Yeah, yeah. I got to experience the other end a couple times, but more on the receiving end, which is – it's interesting. That's an interesting place for mercy to show up. The mercy is we'll stop playing you now because this – you look like fools. You know?
Chumps.
We're gonna stop the pain.
I think they do that also in like basketball. They just have a running clock, mm-hmm. and that's kind of the mercy rule in basketball now. And so you are not beating the team 104-24 yeah. or whatever. Once it's a certain number, and I don't know exactly what that number is, they continue to run the clock in high school basketball. Mercy is an interesting thing. I remember as a kid, we used to play a game. We didn't call it this, but I think now it's called Smuck the Duck. And you'd throw a football or some ball up in the air, and then everyone would chase after you and try to tackle you. Did anybody else play that? Yeah.
Yeah, we called it something else. I can't say it on the air.
Yeah, but it's not appropriate for the air anymore. Yep. But then everyone would pile on you, and you'd be like, get off, mercy, mercy, trying to get rid of the ball so that everyone wasn't piling on top of you. That's when I think of mercy. I think of that, those moments of being on the bottom of the pile.
We played games like that, and you'd have to cry uncle. You ever do? Where did that come from? You just made me think about that. How did that? Because it's the same thing. It means I give, you know. I should have looked that up because now I'm going, where did we get that from? We just said it.
Somebody had a mean uncle.
Uncle. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. All through the scripture, it talks about God's mercy and it's connected to his goodness. And
hold on. Not just the New Testament?
Not just the New Testament. Oh. There's Hebrew words for it that talk about this idea of mercy and God having mercy. And Racham, I think, is one of the words of mercy in Hebrew. Mm-hmm. It means to love or to have compassion, to have a disposition of mercy. And there are other ones in there also that talk about these ideas of having mercy and how God is full of mercy out of his goodness. What's interesting is his mercy does not, in one sense, it is not trumped by his judgment. But in another sense, it's offered and his judgment is recanted and it's pulled back. When we place our faith in Jesus, his judgment is pulled back. His mercy is given to us. And so the biblical definition of mercy is this idea that we deserve punishment. The Bible says that we have all sinned and we deserve death. And yet God withholds that from us. He pulls that back from us. That's a little bit different than the idea of grace. Grace is anything that we get after that is good. Mm. And grace is the eternal life relationship with God, being born into the kingdom of God, being a son and daughter of the Most High. These are all biblical pictures that are given of grace. But mercy is the withholding of punishment. And so I think of stories like the Ninevites and Jonah. That's one of my favorite stories. It was one of my favorite stories as a kid. It's also one of my favorite stories even to this day. And the story in the scripture is God calls Jonah to go to the Ninevites to rescue them from judgment. And he says, Not gonna do
it.
And he gets on a boat.
I don't like them.
Yep, I don't like them. They don't deserve mercy. They don't deserve grace. They deserve punishment. And they actually probably did deserve that, as we all do. But these people were heinous people, and he did not want God's mercy upon them. And so what he does is he gets on a boat and he tries to go away from God. That's funny to run from God to me. And a big storm comes up. He recognized the storm was because of him. They throw him overboard, and the text tells us that he was saved by a big fish. And so Jonah was swallowed by a big fish. I never thought of the idea of him being saved by it. And he spends 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale or a big fish, and then is puked out, spit out onto the shore of the Ninevites. He goes and he begins to share with them the story of repentance and mercy. And they respond, and God has mercy on them. He doesn't destroy them. This is one of my favorites in the scripture, where you see this acting God towards some horrible people, and them responding to God and God showing his mercy.
Well, even, you know, and there's another aspect of mercy that I think of, and you can see it right in that story you just talked about. You know, that whale coming and swallowing up Jonah was God's mercy on Jonah as well. But it was still, you know, I'm sure Jonah didn't enjoy his time, and yet God could have let him drown right there and be done with him. And yet this whale comes to show God's mercy, and also to give, I think to give Jonah another chance to do the right thing, in a sense. You know, so there's this level when I think about God's mercy, oftentimes in scripture and in our lives, it's there's maybe still going to be something hard to experience, but the mercy is that we get to, be pointed back to God. We get a chance to do the right thing after we've messed up.
Well, and I think that is something that like grace, mercy, even justice are all kind of the same side of the coin. Yeah. Like, you can't really delineate all those things apart from God's love. Cause you think about that, the story of Jonah, and like, okay, there, he's re-correcting him to go where he needs to go, or he's called him to, giving him that second chance. And you look at the gift of grace and mercy that we get through God's love through his son Jesus, and that gives us a second chance at life too.
Yeah, Jesus Christ is the face of God's mercy. It is God in the bod, God taking on human flesh in order to become the savior of the world. He says he did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. And how does he do that? He makes himself a servant, even onto the place of death on the cross, where his blood was shed for the remission of sins. And so you have this incredible story of God in his very character, in his very nature, wanting to rescue, wanting to show mercy. The interesting thing, if you think about the whole counsel of Scripture, is God is without need. He does not need us. He does not have this thing where he's like, oh, my little kids down there, I have to have them. He does it out of his very nature, that mercy comes out of who he is. And his very nature produces this. And so we get the person of Jesus Christ coming down to earth, living, doing some incredible miracles, incredible teacher, but then showing mercy to us, that our punishment for sin was placed upon a cross, all of our sins, past, present, and future, given to him. He dies on the cross, and if we say yes to him, we're accepted into the kingdom, which is an act of mercy, and that is filled with grace because it gives us all of those other components after we say yes to Jesus.
Yeah, I found a great description of God's mercy. I'm going to read it slowly because it's kind of a little bit of a wordplay. It says, "The wisdom of God has ordained a way for the love of God to deliver us from the wrath of God without compromising the justice of God." You see all these components of who God is wrapped up in how he acts and what he does, and mercy is a part of who he is, but also so is justice. And so, you know, when we see the story that's weaved throughout scripture, it's really beautiful how those puzzle pieces fit together, keeping that wholeness of the character of God.
Mm-hmm. There's another Hebrew word that I'm always fascinated by. It's a kaporeth. I think is how you say it. I'm not the greatest at the Hebrew words.
Just go in confident, and I'll believe you.
But it means ransom. And it's associated with the mercy seat found in Scripture in Exodus chapter 25. And Jesus was our ransom.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one who bought us back. He's the one who paid for us to live a new life. And this is the interest. We talked about this at Easter, at our Easter service, is that Jesus didn't come out of the grave just to save us. He came out of the grave to be king.
Mm-hmm.
And he bought us with a price, and that price was his life, his blood shed on the cross for us. And so there is this mercy, but there's also, like, if somebody shows you great amount of mercy, and the most incredible amount of mercy that you will ever receive is through the work of Christ on the cross, there is a response to that.
Yeah.
Jesus tells a story of the merciful servant.
Yeah.
You remember that one, Travis?
Yeah. Is that the one with the vineyard, the workers in the vineyard? And
well, it's the one who
forgiving debts.
Yeah, remember the one who comes in, he goes to the king.
Yeah, and forgives him of like a debt of, was it like $10,000 or something equivalent, even more than that? And
it was a small amount. Yeah, something like that. It was like $10,000 or something.
And then that guy goes out after he's been forgiven, and he's like, hey, dude, you owe me $5. And he's like, yeah, it sends him to prison for that. Like, that's a prime example of not having mercy. You've just been forgiven so much, and then you want to go and get your $10 back.
The king wanted – you're right. The king wanted – it was a huge amount of money.
Yeah. It was like a year. It was more than a year's worth of salary.
And then he doesn't forgive – he doesn't forgive the dude who owes him $5.
Just after he's been forgiven.
And that's Jesus pointing out, like, we've been given so much that he mm-hmm. calls us to forgive others. You know, if we have a debt owed to us by somebody that's wronged us, and we're looking at that guy like, well, you stepped on my white sneaker and got it scuffed up, and I'm going to sock you in the nose. And we're out there going after justice like that and not exhibiting mercy. And God's given us so much mercy and so much grace.
Yeah, even the word of God is an act of mercy to us. Without that, the scriptures do indicate that God's invisible qualities are shown to us through the very creation of the world. And yet God chooses an act of mercy by giving us the scripture. He gives us a clear picture of who he is, what we are called to do as humans, and what does it mean as his creation to actually live in the light of what we were designed to do, and which is an act of mercy. It's kind of like, my kids love Legos. They're, you know, all playing with Legos, you know, and they can build some stuff, but if there's no directions, what they build is, some of them are a little better than others. but if they have the directions, it comes out to be something pretty incredible. Like, John, I think you have some Lego sets in your office.
Oh, yeah.
What is that thing of? Star Wars.
The best one is I have a Viper droid. It's
We don't know what that is. But awesome, dude.
I only know the big one. Yeah. It's a probe droid. Okay. You don't even want to go down this road with me.
Okay,
we'll all be sad, and two people out there listening will be excited.
Well, what I love about God's mercy is that it always leads towards something.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the story of Jonah, you look at even the mercy that he had with Adam and Eve in the garden. They had to face the justice of what they did and leave the garden,
mm-hmm.
but he clothed them before they went.
Yeah.
Jonah got the second chance. Jesus gives us the second chance. And there's always his grace and his mercy is always an opportunity or push towards for us to towards him, but to also leave our old stuff behind.
Yeah. I will say that one of the things in the scripture that I think people mistake is that God's mercy is a limited, it is for a limited time.
Mm-hmm.
There will come judgment. And so it does not take judgment out.
Mm-hmm.
And so this idea that we're all God's children because Jesus died on the cross, no, we have all the possibility to be God's children, but it's only through the acceptance of Jesus Christ. And if you look at Revelation, when Jesus comes back again, he is not coming back as the tender, you know, teddy bear that we see in the New Testament, loving, kind, long flowing great hair, you know, type of a guy. He's coming back and he's got a sword in his mouth and there's judgment in his eyes because there's fire coming out of his eyes.
Yep.
And he's all dressed in white. And you never mess with a dude who's dressed in white when he wants to fight you.
He has a tattoo on his thigh.
And he has a tattoo on his thigh.
Don't mess with those guys either.
Yeah.
Well, there's a you know, I was saying this a little bit earlier. There's a merciful side even to God's judgment in this life that is, you know, I think this is an idea that you see in Cyril, who was a church leader in the 4th century. He talked about how even going as far back as Adam and Eve being kicked out of the garden, that was a merciful act of God. It was punishment for them, but it was meant to bring them back to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's a component of that that I think rings true even, you know, if you think about parenting, you know, where a lot of the times if we're doing, and sometimes, you know, we don't do this right because we're human and we fail, but the punishments that we give out to our kids, they're meant to help protect them. And I think there's a mercy in that. You know, there's this component of God's correction that I think is very merciful, because as you talk about that judgment that will come, we're experiencing the mercy of God, but there will be a judgment day for all people. I think the consequences that we face for sin in this life are often God's mercy. You know, they can be.
Yeah. Well, there are stories where God's mercy, was pulled back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you have the story of Noah, yeah. Which is a great kid story, that
most
you,
of it,
you know, well, it's mostly not, right?
Mostly not, yeah.
Yeah, other than there's animals there
and a rainbow at the end.
It's not really God's mercy. God at one point says he's so sick of humanity, he's going to destroy all of them. And he goes to his prophet Noah and he begins to say, hey, build a boat, because this is what's coming. There is judgment coming on this world. And only 8 respond to the righteousness and the proclamation of Noah, and it's his family basically and their wives, and God restarts the whole earth through them and all of humanity, not the whole earth, through them. They land on Mount Ararat is what the scriptures tell us. They plant a vineyard, which is actually really interesting because we know that the longest cultivated grapes are right from that region. Isn't that weird? And but it was an act of God's mercy, because really he wanted to destroy all of them. And he said, you know what, I'm going to have mercy on these ones. And they actually responded to him. I think if there had been others who had jumped on the ship before it started raining and he shut the door, I think he would have had mercy on them also. Yeah. He gave them an opportunity for mercy. They chose not to have mercy or not to accept that mercy.
I'm glad you brought that up. What, you know, I was mentioned Cyril a minute ago, and he talks about that was a key kind of piece to how he they said that he was in charge of getting new believers ready for baptism. So he kind of had a new believers class, you know, and he would talk about, it was all centered around the mercy of God. And he talks about Noah the same way you just did, that the fact that God delayed that flood and gave people the opportunity. They didn't respond, but I think you're right. I think if someone would have said, okay, Noah, I believe you're right, let me on the boat, that would have been enough for them to receive God's mercy. And, you know, as it says, their hearts were hardened and they, you know, they didn't want to respond or believe. But,
well, the text also tells us in the New Testament, it talks about God's patience.
Yeah.
And yeah. God actually desires that no one would perish and that all would repent and come to him. And I think the reason for the God not coming back, and once he comes back, it's too late.
That's it. Yeah.
You know, and so you better be ready, right? And so I think he's patient, and it's an act of mercy in his patience, mm-hmm. going, man, I hope just one more comes to know who I am and accept the mercy and grace that I've provided for mm-hmm. them. And so he's wanting and longing for all of us to reconnect as humans should with the creator of the world.
Yeah.
And, we reconnect through the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus says that no one comes to the Father except through me. No one is connected to God except through me. And so it's this this delayed judgment that happens in there. It's actually, it's not injustice, but rather it's a choosing not to bring justice immediately. We see this in our court systems. You have people who are on death row, and there is a delayed judgment, a delayed carrying out of the punishment that has been given to them. And so you have a delay in that. And I think the same is true in Scripture. Actually, what the Scripture says is that if you don't believe in Jesus, you are already condemned. You are on death row, is basically what it says. And God in his mercy says, hey, I want to pardon you. But there's a stay right now of not bringing out that judgment, because God is merciful. It's a part of who he is.
Well, even God's word is a merciful act that we have. That, you know, it's a roadmap. It's a forewarning of what is to come. And he reveals himself to us. He reveals his plan for us. He gives us that opportunity to turn and repent and know who Jesus is and understand that stuff. It makes me think of Micah chapter 6. What is it that the Lord requires of you but to love mercy and to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God? He lays out the plan for how you can receive his mercy, how you can receive that gift of grace that he offers through his son Jesus. And, you know, it goes back. His desire is that all would repent and come to Christ. And it's not that we're just left, you know, outside the boat to try to figure it out. We're getting the winter storm warning. We're getting the alerts on our phone of like, hey, heads up, this is coming. You better make it right, and you better come to know me and who my son Jesus is and why he came.
Yeah, mercy is something that he desires to give and wants to give to everyone. But it's offered. It's not forced upon. And that's one of the interesting parts about it. And I often go, well, God, why don't you just make us? Cause we're knuckleheads. And he really, I think that understands the tragedy of love. You love what you actually love. And you will either love him or you will love this world, which is filled with darkness and corruption and brokenness. And he gives us that choice, which is in and of itself an act of mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, I want you to love me. I want you to know me. I want you to have a true sense of who I am and a true sense of the love that I have for you, so that you can respond in love to me.
Yeah, I mean, we see, as we've said, all throughout Scripture, the mercy of God is highlighted, and hopefully we've made it clear that it's highlighted because it's a component of God's character, which, as we've been talking about the characteristics of God, we're not talking about in the way we might talk about this with people. We're talking about something that's a core part of who God is. And the Apostle Paul in Romans 9 has some interesting thoughts about this. And he presents this question, not because he's unsure of God and his mercy, but because he's in awe of this truth. He says in 9:22-23, it says, what if God, desiring to show his wrath and to make known his power, has endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction in order to make known the riches of his glory for vessels of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory? There's this idea. He's saying this is part of who God is, that he makes his mercy available to, he calls us vessels of wrath.
Yeah, I think mercy is sometimes beyond our understanding, and we don't totally get it, even when we talk about games or crying out uncle or whatever. But when you look at the cross, it's this beautiful picture of God's wrath and mercy. It's met perfectly in the cross. The wrath of that was meant for humanity, given to the Savior of the world, the one who was absolutely perfect without sin, the anointed one, the Messiah, and given all of that was placed upon him. And God gave us mercy so that we can be transformed. And without that, we were not made or fit for eternity with Him. And through that, we are made and fit for eternity with Him, because the Bible says that Jesus' righteousness, His pureness, His, all of those things that make us fit are given to us, through the wonderful Savior. That is good news you can use.
Thanks for hanging out with us this week. If you've got questions or comments, feel free to email those to travis@evangelup.org. You can check out our latest Pearls and Swine podcast episodes there and our website at evangelup.org. Or if you want to search us out, Evangel Houghton Podcast on your Apple or Google device, and you can tune in with us there. Thanks for hanging with us, and we'll catch you guys next time.